Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.
No.
I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are glad to be with you another episode. Hey, today's going to be a great one. We say that every time, but we love it. We love being with you. We love the episodes. We're following up today on an episode that we did on campus ministry a little while back. So if you haven't listened to that one, 10 things not to do in campus ministry. So that was the original episode. If you haven't listened to that one, take time to go listen to it, then leave a positive rating and review and come back and listen to this one. This one is a follow-up. So we got hit up on Twitter by Mr. John Babry, who wants us to dive more into the campus ministry topic and say, and just talk about how you start campus ministry. So the tweet is, "This got me excited about the potentials in campus ministry. It's not something we've done before. Can you do a podcast on how to get started?" So we did kind of some things on what not to do. Now we're going to talk about how to start from scratch, because the reality is, while many people do campus ministry and are involved at some level, there are still a ton of people out there who, like John, want to do campus ministry, love the idea of it, but need some help getting started. So that's the topic of today's podcast, a very important one, because in order to lead a truly effective ministry, you have to find a way to get on the campus in some way. Campus ministry, I would say, John Paul, is an essential part of student ministry.
No doubt. Got to go where the students are. And they're at school.
Got to get up on their turf. First step in campus ministry, in getting started in campus ministry, is to sit down at your desk, write out the campuses that you have students from in your ministry. If there's a place where there are more students than another place, typically that would be a good one to start with. Because here's the reality. You're not going to be able to, at the beginning, have the same level of campus ministry at every campus that's represented in your ministry, unless you just have one or two schools represented. And there are a lot of you out there that have that. So identify first kind of a priority level of which schools you're going to start campus ministry on. Now, after you do that, your choice to begin is going to be influenced by which campuses are open to you being there. So if you sit down at your desk and you write out, okay, Johnson High School is where we have most of our high school students, and so I'm going to have the biggest impact if I'm able to go there, but the Johnson High School principal's like, you ain't getting on my campus, then you've got to move to another school, right? Yeah. So in that case, once you have the priority list, then you have to find out which campus is open for you to come and be a part of what's going on there. And what's worked for us in the past really, really well is finding that one connection. Many times, all it takes is one connection at the school, and then your ministry on that campus can explode. So it may not be the principal in some cases. It may not be the math teacher. For us, when John Paul and I served together, kind of what really launched campus ministry for us was a relationship with the guys' basketball coach, who opened the door for us to begin serving the basketball team. And then from that, all of the other relationships at the school begin to develop. So in a missions environment, this would be called looking for the person of peace, or that connection that's going to help you get on board, and it's going to come through some type of service area. But you've got to find that one person that kind of lets you in the door and gives you that first step.
And that one person doesn't have to be a believer.
That's right.
Keep that in mind. Sometimes you're just looking for the person that is the neediest.
Yeah.
So this basketball coach, we were in a city where not all of these basketball players had a ride to and from school. And so one of his biggest hurdles was pregame meals, because his guys would have to walk from school and go somewhere to get something to eat, and would often return late for the games because they don't have any other way, and they've got to eat because their game's not till 7 and they haven't eaten since 10 a.m., their scheduled lunchtime.
And they're walking to Taco Bell or some some place like that, and they're not eating good food, and they're getting into trouble, and
yeah. So he was the neediest of the coaches on that school staff. He knew what he needed. I mean, it's a basketball team. They have like 4,000 games a season.
That's so true.
It's not as bad as the baseball team, but there was a big need there for him. We were able to be introduced to him by one of the students in our ministry who was not a basketball player. He was a football player.
Yeah.
But was close to him because he was also the dean of boys. And it was just that. What grade was Dylan then? 10th grade? 9th grade? Something like that?
Maybe 9th grade.
So we had a 9th grade student introduce us to the dean of boys, who was also the basketball coach. Very simple question. Hey, we'd love to help you. You need anything? Yes.
Yeah.
And the door's wide open. At a school that had told us previously, our doors are totally closed.
That's right. Yeah. So we had, you know, we lay out in the other podcast, man, start at the top, start with the principal, start with the administration, build relationships and get in that way. Well, in some cases, that's just not going to be the case. You're going to need to find that person of peace. And in this situation, it was not the principal. Now, this basketball coach had communicated with his faculty. And so like they knew what was going on, but it really started with fulfilling a need and getting on the campus that way. And we did that, I think, for 2 seasons. And then it's like the floodgates opened. They wanted to see that we, in 2 seasons, were going to do what we said we were going to do, that we were going to be respectful of the rules of the school, and that we were going to serve well, that we were going to fulfill our end. And then from there, the football team started asking us to do things. The basketball coach said, hey, instead of just bringing meals, why don't you guys like say something? It started with like, pour into our guys from a leadership, give them some leadership. And then it ended up being just, you can say whatever you want, give devotions, talk about Jesus. Like it really opened up incredibly from that point on.
Yeah. The question was, you're a preacher, right?
Yeah.
To which we said yes, and he said, well, preach.
Which we would have, if so many people, I think, when we talk about campus ministry, stop at the first no. And if we would have stopped at the first no and said, well, this campus is closed, I'm not going to do any campus ministry here, we would have missed out on a tremendous opportunity to where even like after I moved away, John Paul took this campus ministry and scaled it incredibly in other campuses in the city, and even to the point where the football team, public school football team at this same school, was doing their football camp at our rec fields and staying the night in our youth building. Like, we became the location for them to do their football camp, which you let out in and organized with them, and it was...
They're still doing it now. They just finished it a few weeks ago.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing. So, but the principle here on how to get started is make your priority list and then look for the person of peace. Look for the person with the biggest need and then fulfill that need. Here's the other thing you've got to do. You've got to assign budget money to this. If campus ministry is going to be one of the top priorities in your ministry, it needs to fulfill one of the top priorities of your line items on your budget. You don't have to, because you can get families and moms to help cook meals if that ends up being how you get on the campus, but you've got to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, in this thing to really get it going. So once you find the person of peace and you begin serving, what do you do from there? Like, so we kind of talked through. I'll just look. Banged his face on the microphone.
Just nothing like headbutting the mic in the middle of a podcast.
I love it. So we talked about kind of how you get started. Talk about how you scaled this, how you took this model and kind of put process to it so that you can begin doing this on other campuses and following the same kind of model.
Well, one of the things that we found helpful, because we were in a place where we did have several schools represented in our church, is we needed to figure out, okay, there's not enough of us to just kind of wing this thing and really do some effective school ministry.
Us being student ministry team.
Right.
Yeah.
So we wanted to figure out, okay, are there some steps that we can track to be able to follow a process and say we're at this level in this school, so we need to have these actions laid out to try to move forward. And we're at this step with this school, so we're on to these actions. And that just kind of helped us organize volunteers, organize student ministry actions for schools, organize our own thinking as we're trying to keep track of which school we had a conversation about what project and what team we're supposed to be talking to and all that kind of stuff. So we created a process that works for us. I would say create a process that works for you and that fits your personality, because I've talked about this at Student Ministry Essentials conferences that we hold in Nashville on several occasions, and I've had guys say, man, that's just not really me. One of my first steps was to walk in to a school that I didn't have relationships with and get to know the front desk ladies, and you guys have heard this if you've listened to the podcast before. I would walk in, me by myself or with somebody else on my team, and just start trying to pour on the charm. And, hey, what's your name? What's your favorite flower? What's your favorite candy? And I'm trying to draw this information out of them while trying to leave a good impression, just get to know them. And then we would always return with flowers or candy or both, whatever we could get out of them.
Which you're very charming. Well,
thank you. to try to build relationship. But if that's not you, here's the point. You need a person of peace, like Ben was talking about. And often the staff there at the front desk, if they have a good feeling and impression of you, then they'll speak well of you to the people that you need to speak to next.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason that we did that.
That's
how
right.
do we build relationships with them so that we can get to know a gatekeeper that will give us further access? So it's basically this. What steps can I take to gain access to the school? What steps can I take to begin building relationships with those people that give me access? And then it's the same thing beyond that. What can I do to build relationships with the people who will give me access to students? The principal is not going to be the one that's going to say, yeah, go talk to this room full of students.
That's right.
In most cases. The principal is, however, going to give you access to smaller environments like teams or lunches or pep rallies or clubs.
And they're definitely the one that can say no to all of it.
Right. So after getting to know them, building a relationship with them, then the next step of your process needs to be figuring out how you get the next step deeper into that school with the coach, with a teacher, with a sponsor, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, the next step is earning enough trust that you can stand in front of students on a regular basis and pour into them.
Yeah. And that takes time.
It does.
That's not... It'll be very rare where you show up at the beginning of the semester and by January, you're getting to say whatever you want to whoever you want.
Yeah.
Like that just doesn't happen. And don't take that on your own to just start doing that, because then you'll ruin any ministry opportunities you have in the future. And here's what we found out too, is that those faculty members talk to each other. So in our example, the basketball coach at this one school talked to the other faculty members, talked to the other coaches, talked to the other sponsors of clubs and things, because they would say, hey, how they would see us around and they would see us rolling the catering carts in and rolling.
We gave them some good food.
We did. Our kitchen would cook sometimes. Sometimes we'd cater for just out at restaurants and stuff. And they barbecue, we'd roll in with the bar. It smells up the whole wing of the school. So other teachers and coaches are coming in and like, how are you doing this? And that gives that coach an opportunity to say, man, these guys are taking care of us.
Man, here's another thing to think about. I thought about this as you were talking about rolling the food into the school. Another relationship that we built just as a result of looking for cost-effective options to feed students every other day for this basketball team relationship.
It's so much.
We made a relationship with a woman that I really came to love being around, and everybody called her Brigadier Betty. She ran the what do you call it? Not the bakery, but she ran like the food counter for like the fresh deli food at a grocery store in the area. And so Miss Betty, she was already looking up all the scores for all the high schools. She was so into sports.
Yeah. It was one of those down home, like, I'm going to follow my high school's. She's one of those kind of, you have those people in your community.
Yeah. So when we reached out to her and said, hey, would you be willing to help us out with these meals? Man, I mean, after every game, she was saying, man, I saw the scores, you know, how'd they do? Man, and she would go find food in the store. If we wanted a certain meat with a meal, she would plan some of those things out, and she would go find them and say, hey, this went on sale, so I'm going to make this for a couple of, you know, whatever, however she would work it out, you know. Or we made too much of this yesterday. I just went ahead and saved some. There were a couple of times I was like, Miss Betty, did you make too much on purpose? But she really helped us out. And so there's some relationships there that you can make, even in your church. If you've got some restaurant owners or managers of restaurants, take advantage of those relationships you've got.
Yeah, that's right. Another way to start campus ministry is to look for the clubs that already exist on campus that you can plug into, whether it be Fellowship of Christian Athletes or First Priority is in a lot of places across the country. There are others that are open to allow youth pastors to come to that I didn't mention because I just don't know about them in your area. But there are Christian clubs that meet on your campus that you can go and plug into. That's an easy connection to campus ministry that you can begin to meet more faculty. But what we found is while this is a great way to get on the campus, and you should be doing these things as a part of your campus ministry, it was for a very small segment of the students. And so we found that's a good way to get one step in, but to truly get into the campus where you are beginning to reach more and more people, you've got to find other relationships in addition to this.
Yeah, and so here's one solution to that problem, and this is something that the student ministry in Virginia has kind of taken next step after both Ben and I left. They stepped into First Priority, and there were 10, 15 students showing up at First Priority. And Chip Dean, little shout out to Chip.
Hey, Chip.
He just said, hey, can I just run this thing?
Yeah.
To the teacher that was sponsoring First Priority. And he said, man, I'll show up and speak. We'll bring food. Literally all you have to do is show up and we can just make this thing happen. And they said, absolutely. Well, it grew to over 100 students that were coming every week.
Yeah.
And so that's one way. If you can just offer to run it and you've got the capacity to do that, then that may be one way around just getting invited to speak once every 6 weeks at something like that to just a handful of kids.
Yeah. And I would say First Priority is excellent at that. They are really willing to partner with you as a local church youth pastor, as a local church leader. They're very much into making sure that the students who come to First Priority at the school are plugged into local churches. It's a great organization to be a part of. It's not a part of Lifeway. We're just friends with those guys. So if you want to find out more about First Priority, I'm sure they would love for you to look them up. I know our Nashville guy, shout out to Steve Cherico. We're giving shout outs today. This is awesome. But if you don't have a First Priority person in your area and you want to find out more about that, go to firstpriority.com. And they're great at partnering with local churches. That's really their heart in campus ministry. So that's a good connection that John Paul mentioned there. John Paul, as we kind of get towards wrapping this episode up, how did you know, like, was there a certain point in your process that triggered the, okay, this is running smoothly, I can move on to a new campus now and kind of keep this one plate spinning on this side because you've got it down and begin spinning that other plate?
Well, I think part of this equation is understanding how much time you have And so to step back from that is making sure that you budget time to do this and to be able to expand into more and more school influence. It's worth your time, so you should go ahead and calendar it.
Yeah, multiply yourself to people who can.
Yep. So the other part of that, like, you know, like you were just talking about in multiplying yourself, is how many people do I have at my disposal to be able to help me run with this plan? You may not have a student ministry team like we had at Liberty, but you do have some parents that would love to plug in to something like that and could do a great job, maybe That's with right. a little bit of coaching. But you need to trust some of those people that you have around you to help you reach some of those students.
Yeah.
So part of that is just how much time do I have? How much manpower do I have? And the other part of it is, for me, boiled down to what phase I was in that plan. When you're just building relationships and you're trying to gain a platform in the school, it really doesn't take you that much time on campus.
Yeah.
So you can start another campus. If you've got one that you are deep into that campus, you're well engaged, you're in several different places of influence in that school, you can start two more relationships with two other schools in just that introduction kind of phase without too much time commitment. And then what you do is you say, God, I'm going to step into this, and I'm asking you to help me find some people that are going to assist me in taking this the rest of the way. But go ahead and start stepping toward that and let God build that team for you.
Yeah, that's good.
I think in the end, for a lot of student pastors, this is just one of those things you just have to do.
Yeah.
Just get up and do it. Get out your calendar, pencil in the time, and just start figuring it out. Do a little bit every week until you have formulated a plan that you're comfortable with, and just do it.
Yeah. And just try things.
Yep.
Just if it doesn't work, try something else. If you haven't met that person, keep trying to meet people. Students at the school, parents of those students at the school that are in clubs and all that kind of stuff. Just ask around. Hey, have you heard anything from this school about how we can help?
So there's something that you said at the very beginning that I think is worth, before we wrap up, it's worth you addressing.
Yes.
You mentioned that you don't always, that you don't need to stop at the first no.
Yeah.
Now, we have seen and heard the stories of guys that just kind of bulldozed their way through and did whatever they felt like doing and burned bridges at schools.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree that you don't stop at the first no. But how do you do that well?
It's a good question. So I think it takes somebody being a little savvy and being able to interpret what no means, right? So is it like you can, in a conversation with a principal, I think you can kind of discover with tone and with relationship what they're saying to you. And then you can proceed from there. What I'm trying to get at is I think we use it, well, my schools are closed, as an excuse a lot of times to not put the extra effort and work in to get on a campus.
Yeah.
Now, if you have been told no by a principal, no, you can't be here, and you find out later, month later, 2 months later, you meet the basketball coach or the band director, and they say, hey, I heard you were looking, or you meet them and say, is there anything we can do for you? And they say, yes, here's this thing. Then I think it's on you to set up an appointment back with the principal.
Yeah.
And say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I want to respect you. I want to respect your leadership. I met this person. They said they had this need. But before I take a step, out of respect for you as the leader of this school, I wanted to get your blessing to go ahead and do this. And be forthright with what you are willing to commit to. I'm not going to cross the religion line on your campus. I'm just here to provide this service. I'm just here to fulfill this need. I'm going to work closely in step with this faculty member. I'm not going to abuse this privilege. Be forthright with what the expectations are. And then if they say no, then I don't think you can go around their back.
Yeah.
You're going to burn the bridge. But I think in that case, most people will say they've taken the extra step that they didn't have to take to come back and get my blessing because of the respect they have for this school and my role as the principal. I'm going to give them a chance.
And even if they say no there, I don't think that's the end of the journey either. It just means you got to back up some.
Yeah.
So that means that your first point of access is not going to involve students at all.
That's right.
But you can make the offer, you know, okay, I totally understand. I want to protect your boundaries. We still have a heart to serve this community in any way that we can. So what if I showed up on Saturday morning with a group of people and we power washed all your sidewalks?
Yeah.
Would something like that be okay? You know, what if I contracted with a landscaper? I don't even come on campus, but I'm going to have some of my adults, some of my adult leaders, some of our church members, donate money to this landscaping company to redo your landscaping. Would that be something that would be beneficial to you, that we can just love you that way? And they're pretty much always going to say yes to that because they don't have dollars to get things like that done. And those things will earn you over time the influence that you want.
That's right. Because when they tell you no, they're telling you no in regards to your interactions with students. So many times a no in that would still be a yes if, hey, Dr. So-and-so or Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I want to bring a cake up during in-service day and put it in the teacher's lounge and just write a note, thanks for all you do.
Yeah.
Those kinds of, you don't even have to go there. Have flowers delivered. Have whatever, bless the teachers, bless the faculty. Those are things a lot of times that they'll still say yes to, even if they're holding back on access to teenagers, where you can begin to continue building that relationship. And if there's a no there and they don't even want to do those things, then maybe your role in that situation is to hover in that phase one for a little while where you're still building that acquaintance and still building that relationship. Every now, you know, maybe once a quarter, go in and set up an appointment, just go in and say hi. Keep that relationship going with that principal and with that upper level faculty at the school. Yeah. Without doing any of the student stuff.
Send them a gift card so they can take their spouse out to dinner or something. You can buy their love.
Yeah, you can. all for a good cause, all for the gospel.
Yep.
Buy their love with a gift card for the gospel. All right. Thank you for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Head over to iTunes, leave that rating and review. We'd love to hear what you think.
I can't handle the soft voice.
Hit us up on Twitter. This episode came from a hit up on Twitter. So do that. We love to talk about what you want us to talk about. We'll see you next time. Bye.